As you know, this is Good Friday.
Yes, Amen.
This is the celebration of the death and burial of Jesus. He's on Palm Sunday, he rode into the city. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to be looking at the final days of Christ's earthly ministry, the order of events that led to his death. Tonight on this Good Friday, we're going to follow Jesus all the way up to his crucifixion, and like I said, unto his death. So before we do that, let's open prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us. We thank you for the death of your son, Jesus, Lord, which was a gift to us. And again, Father, when we look at the cross, when we look at the ugliness and the horrible sight of it, Lord, it's really hard to fathom that something good could come forth from that, and yet something did good come from it, Lord, which is eternal life that came through the shedding of the blood of your son, his suffering, Lord, his beatings and everything that he had gone through, Father. And we're so thankful and so grateful, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we just forget. We forget what your son went through. We forget, Lord, and we act up and we do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say. And yet, Lord, when our minds are turned to Calvary, we're reminded, Lord, that we are to love one another and that we are to look to you, Lord, for grace and peace. And, Lord, to look to one another in love and to uplift one another and to help one another. So, Father, as we go through this reading, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as we go through it, that we will remember, truly remember, Lord, what your son Jesus went through for us, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, tonight on this Good Friday, we're going to follow Jesus through the days leading up to his crucifixion. This will not be a Bible reading, rather, or an exposition. This is to give an overview of the final days of Jesus' earthly ministry. We will be reading about the last days of Christ's earthly ministry. We will begin in Matthew 20, 17 through 19. You just may want to just hear, because it's going all over the place. We're using different scriptures from the four Gospels, and even a few from the writing of Paul. So we're beginning with Matthew 20, 7-16, with Jesus telling his disciples very plainly that he was going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. For the first time, Jesus revealed to them the way he would die, which would be by crucifixion. He said in the 17th verse of the 20th chapter of Matthew, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And on the third day, he will rise again.' Then Jesus and the disciples went to the small city of Bethany, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. This was a major miracle and a turning point in our Lord's ministry. Many Jews believed on Jesus as a result of the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. But others went to the Pharisees and reported that the crowds were turning to Jesus because of this miracle. John wrote in 11:53, "Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death." After this, Jesus left Bethany and made a circular trip with his disciples northward to the edge of Galilee, then east to Perea, and then back south to Jericho, a short distance northeast of Jerusalem. When he had reached Jericho, he healed two blind men. One of them was blind Bartimaeus, and you'll find that in Mark 10:26. In Luke 19:5, he went to the house of a prominent tax collector named Zacchaeus, who was converted and began giving back much of the tax money he had wrongly taken. News of these dramatic events spread quickly among the thousands of Jewish people who were pouring into Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Then Jesus and the disciples traveled south, back to Bethany, about 2 miles south of the city of Jerusalem. John tells us in 11:15 that again the chief priests plotted to take him out of jealousy and fear. When Jesus and the disciples arrived back at Bethany, they were served a lavish meal by Martha in the house of Simon the leper in Matthew 26:6. In Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14 tells how the end of the meal, at the end of the meal, Martha's sister Mary anointed Jesus with a pound of very costly spikenard, a fragrant ointment used by the ancients, often to anoint a body for burial. Jesus said plainly that she was anointing him for his burial the next Friday afternoon. This happened on Friday before his crucifixion. The next day was Sunday, the Jewish Sabbath. Jesus remained quietly at Bethany on Saturday. On Sunday, which is now called Palm Sunday, there were thousands of pilgrims in the city for the great Jewish feast of Passover. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey. Many of the people thought highly of him. They spread palm branches on the road so his donkey's feet would not have to touch the ground. He was coming into Jerusalem on a donkey as a king, as King David and King Solomon had done, which is also prophesied, which is a prophecy quoted by Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9. He was openly proclaiming himself as the Messiah, the King of Israel, by doing this. In John 12:13, the people cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel," as he passed by the crowds gathered at the sides of the road. Mark 11:11, when Jesus reached the temple, he went in and looked around about upon all things. And now the event was to come. He went out unto Bethany with the 12. During this last week in Jerusalem, Jesus and the disciples seemed to have returned each evening to Bethany to spend the night, either with Simon the leper or more probably with Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. On Monday, Jesus cursed the fig tree in Matthew chapter 21 as a picture of the fruitlessness of the religion of that time. In Matthew 21, 12, 13, Jesus went into the temple that Monday morning. And in that verse, starting with the 12th verse of 21, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." They were overcharging the pilgrims from the doves they needed for sacrifice. They were cheating the people by charging them too much to exchange their foreign money, for many of them had come from long distance to worship at the temple. Jesus made it very clear that it was wrong for them to cheat the people this way. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." On Tuesday, Jesus went back to Jerusalem and walked in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and elders strongly questioned his authority to do what he had done the day before in cleansing the temple. Tuesday was a day of controversy with these religious leaders. Speaking of himself in Luke chapter 20 and quoting Isaiah chapter 8, 14 through 15, Jesus said to them, "Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So because most people saw Jesus as a great prophet and perhaps the very Messiah himself, the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, Jesus was asked many questions by the scribes and Pharisees and high priests. He confounded them by giving simple answers from the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, on Tuesday afternoon, sitting on the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem, Jesus gave a series of prophecies concerning the destruction of Jerusalem and on his second coming. He warned them of the coming of false Christs and false prophets at the end of this age. In Matthew chapter 26, on that Tuesday night, Judas went to the chief priests and plotted with them to betray Jesus into their hands. But they paid him 30 pieces of silver in advance for doing the evil deed. We are told nothing of what happened on Wednesday. He probably went back to Bethany to rest at the home of Mary and Martha to prepare for the ordeal he was about to go through. Still in Matthew chapter 26, Thursday afternoon was the day they were to prepare for the Passover meal. The disciples found a man who was willing to let them use an upper room in his house for Jesus and the disciples to eat the Passover meal. They prepared the Passover meal to eat together in that room. That Thursday evening, Jesus and the 12 disciples ate the Passover meal together in that room. In John chapter 13, during the meal, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and a little later, Jesus pointed out Judas as the one who would betray him. They all denied that they were the traitor, but Judas slipped away into the night to go to the chief priests and do the awful deed of betraying Jesus to them. In John 16, after Judas left, Jesus told the 11 disciples, "The hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So the 11 disciples all denied that they would leave him alone. In Luke chapter 22, at the end of the Passover meal, that night Jesus took a piece of unleavened bread and a cup and instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, showing them that the broken bread represented his body, which would be broken on the cross the next day. He then told them that the cup they drank represented the blood he would shed for the forgiveness of sins. Then Christ gave them a sermon, which can be read in John 14. After they had sung a hymn, they left the room where they had celebrated the Passover and the Lord's Supper and went out into the night to a place where Jesus often prayed. In Matthew 26, 36 through 37, it says that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. He took Peter and James and John and went deeper into the darkness of the garden. He left them a little way off and went further into the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke said in chapter 22, 44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." In Matthew 20, 17 through 19, he prayed for this cup to be removed from him. There are those who believe that he was praying for God to save him from the cross, and yet he had deliberately come to Jerusalem to die on the cross. And then there are those who believe that he was praying to be delivered from death there in the garden, which would have kept him from going to the cross the next day, as God had planned. And Luke chapter 22, verse 43 shows how God heard Jesus' prayer and sent an angel to strengthen him. When he felt stronger, he woke the disciples up and said that it was time to go, for his enemies were coming to take him. You know, I'm not sure, but there are those who believe that Jesus nearly died in Gethsemane because it was there that the sins of the world were placed upon him. But God heard his prayer and prepared him for the ordeal. He would go through the next day, according to Hebrews 57. Now the high priest, men, and the soldiers break into the garden and they arrest Jesus. Judas had led them to him, telling them that it would be the one that he would kiss. They arrested the Savior and drug him away to be interviewed and tried by the high priest. This was actually illegal, for it broke many of the Jewish laws that were required for a normal trial. In Matthew 26, 57 through 68, the arrest and trial of Jesus happened on early Friday morning, long before dawn. Starting with verse 57 of Matthew chapter 26, "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God, of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, He is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? And at this, during all this time, Peter was outside during this trial. He had denied Jesus three times. In Luke 22, 60 through 62, says, Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, Jesus had told Peter that he would do that, and Peter knew it. Peter was looking Jesus right in the face when he said, I don't know him. So this is on Friday at dawn. Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, the religious court, and was condemned to death. In Matthew 27, 1 says, When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. In Acts 1, 18 says, Then Judas, who had betrayed him, went outside the walls of Jerusalem and hanged himself. The old King James Version puts it this way, The rope broke and his body fell down the hill and burst asunder. The New King James Version puts it this way, And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his entrails gashed out. In John 18, 33 through 34, the religious leaders brought Jesus before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Pilate questioned Jesus. Starting at verse 33, Then Pilate entered the Pentagon again, called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. In Luke 23:11, when Pilate heard that Jesus was from Galilee, he sent Jesus to Herod. Herod wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle. Jesus remained silent as Herod questioned him. In Luke 23:11, then Herod with his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Side note, after this had happened, Pilate and Herod, who were enemies, actually became friends after this event. In Matthew 27, 22 through 24, Pilate was willing to release Jesus at the Passover. He customarily released a prisoner. He asked the crowd if he should release Jesus or Barabbas, a notable prisoner, a murderer. The crowd, led by the chief priest, called for the release of the murderer and the crucifixion of Jesus. In Matthew 27, 22, Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with this Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. Pilate then scourged Jesus and delivered him to be crucified. And that was around about 9 a.m. on Friday. Matthew 27, 26 through 37. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the Pentagon and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put his scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." From 9 a.m. until noon on Friday, the soldiers gambled for the garment of Jesus. Jesus was scoffed by the crowd and the Sanhedrin, the soldiers, and even the two thieves who were crucified on the right and left side of Jesus. And Luke 23:44 says, between noon and 3 in the afternoon on that Friday, there was a darkness over the earth. And Luke 23:43, one of the thieves turned by faith to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And then later in Matthew 24:46, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In Mark 15:37 through 39, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" And Mark 15:42-47, "Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that it is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, Jose, observed where he was laid. After 6 p.m., the new day started, according to Jewish time." Matthew said in chapter 27, 62 through 66, "On the next day which followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, "After 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, "He has risen from the dead." So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how to." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So it is here we leave Jesus, sealed within the tomb. Luke 23:55. "And when the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." So tonight, we celebrate Jesus' life, his death on the cross, and his burial. It was a sad day and a time, but it's like an old preacher once said, "It's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming." When Jesus died, I believe so did the faith of his followers. But never forget, we will celebrate in 3 days on Easter Sunday morning, him raising up again in his body from the dead. It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. And so that's what we are looking forward to this coming Sunday. We leave him tonight in the tomb, but Sunday we come back to rejoice. We already know what happened. We know the end of the story. But I think it is such a wonderful and beautiful thing that we are able to come together and to celebrate the Lord and hear the reading, a type of chronological order of events and how it happened. There was a lot more, but, you know, we would be here almost half the night trying to get through it all. So, but I'm always reminded on days like this and the coming, even on Easter, it's almost like, you know, you hear some people, they want to start anew, like on New Year's Day or something like that. For me, I always look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a starting of new, something new. And if I were going to do something like that, if I was going to make a resolution, it would be on that day. And it would not be my resolution, but it would be a resolution in the sense that I would say, Lord, make me anew today. Rise up within me again. Arise in my life. Make me new again. Renew my heart. Renew my love. Renew my worship. Renew my joy. Renew my friendship with and love with the brothers and the sisters of Christ. So that should be a beginning of a new day, because that third day that's coming will change the whole world. Tonight, as we sat here, and even before we were sitting here, there were already people that were celebrating this day. And, you know, to me, it's a big deal. And I thank you very, very much for coming tonight. Again, I thank you. So just remember, when you go to bed tonight, before going to bed, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen? Yeah.